This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Wesley got peanut butter on the table, and I'm like, why is my mouse moving so slow? It's because I'm smearing it through peanut butter.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Ouch. Stop that, cat. You're hurting my ankle. I guess
well,
I should
folks, we're off to a good start.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 317 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
Anyhow.
Had another one of those moments this week where I was talking to my newbie at work, and it's a longer story, but basically, like, I was returning somebody's call, and I was talking about it in the group chat, and I was like, they're like, oh, I'll call him on Monday. I'm like, oh, no, he's getting called right meow. And Jeff, one of the guys in the office, tried to do a Super Troopers gif, and he ended up doing Farva leaning in saying bagawk, and then, you know, a little while later said, sorry, that was in bad taste, because, you know, we all know what predicated that scene.
Yep, we did.
And so this my newbie, who is 21 years old, reached out to me and said, I have no idea what's going on. And I said, oh, he's saying that it was, you know, inappropriate because of that Super Trooper scene. She's like, I've never seen Super Troopers. I was like, I hate you. She's like, I'm Gen Z, and I don't watch that many movies. And I'm like, I hate everything about that, especially as somebody who has a podcast that is all about watching movies and TV shows. And she's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, no, I really do. We're over 300 episodes. She's like, really? What's the name of it? And I told her. And the next thing I know, she goes, wait, and you're on Spotify? Yeah. Yeah, we're fucking legit.
We're legit. So, outstanding.
Yep. Yeah. And then I tried to share that with another coworker of mine who's like 32. And I was like, can you believe this? And she's like, I've never seen Super Troopers either. And I was like, I can't talk to any of you.
I don't see how they haven't seen that.
It's memed and gifted everywhere. Like, I don't get it.
Yep.
People these days.
It's popular and it's been around enough.
So, did you watch some stuff and things? You had a big week.
I did. Well, I watched a lot of movies in Canada because all we had was we left on Monday morning, mm-hmm. Went to a Hopewell Hill in New Brunswick and over near the Bay of Fundy.
By we, he means him and his family, not him and I.
Yes, me, my wife, my three children, and we got back Friday afternoon, so we were gone multiple days. We had TV in the old cabin we rented, but there was no over-the-air channels. There's no cable. It was just they had Apple TV, so like you could sign into your own accounts if you wanted to watch stuff. Mm-hmm. However, being in Canada, none of our accounts work there. Because we have all like U.S. accounts, just the way it works. So the only thing we had access to actually was Netflix, Canadian Netflix, by the way, which has different stuff there than here. So my son and I watched a lot of movies at night, and we watched a lot of Community, like kind of in the morning or whatever, just something to throw on in the background if we were inside. Yeah, so that was nice.
Nice.
So.
But you still, like, you sent me lists. You still managed to get some stuff watched.
Yeah, I still managed to get some stuff watched. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm just checking my notes here and making sure that I'm not missing anything. Because you know how sometimes that happens where we both forget that we watched something and oops.
Yeah. So it's rather interesting. So did you, just real quick, because this involves watching for most of us, but did you know about the K2 comet that's going to be swinging by Earth?
I did not.
Okay. So it's going to be, the comet's, I think it's like 11 miles wide.
11 miles wide. Wow.
Or something of that immenseness.
Pretty big.
Yeah. Anyhow, so tonight, it looks like East Coast time, a little after 11 p.m., we should be able to see it pretty well roaring through the sky.
It's going to be kind of cloudy with the
Yes, it's raining out, so obviously we probably won't see it.
That's too bad. I was hoping that it was like the clouds would part and it would be time to watch it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep. Fine. Yeah, that kind of stinks a little bit. So
it kind of does. But, I mean, it can still come down and drop off my Green Lantern ring if it wants.
There
it
goes.
I have no problem with that.
Absolutely could, yeah.
Yeah.
So
if they're so inclined. Oh, I should turn that down. There. What's now you don't have to worry about that. Oh, my phone just went off with a notification, and I forgot that I hadn't silenced it.
Anywho, so...
Now, we watched some stuff this week, but we also can't forget that at some point we have to talk about the finale of Stranger Things, because remember, we skipped it last week.
Yeah, we can close out with that, I think.
Okay. Sounds fair.
So I have not watched any more Dark Winds. I think I only have an episode to watch, but I'm just behind, and I haven't had a chance to watch anymore. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we finished up The Boys.
I think we talked about that last week.
We did. I tried watching Old Man. And I just can't get into it.
Yeah. It didn't look like it was going to be that enjoyable. I get it. He's trying to be Liam Neeson's, but he's just not Liam Neeson's.
Yeah. So I did watch 8 movies this week.
Wow.
So
that's pretty impressive.
I think so, yeah. Well, we watched on average like 2 a night, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, mostly old. So I did watch 2 new to me movies when we got home.
Okay.
And then the other 1, 2, 3, 4. The other 6 I watched were all. One of them was new to me, but the other ones were all like 80s flicks or early 90s or whatever. It doesn't matter. You'll hear them when we get there.
Yeah.
But you want to start out with the Ms. Marvel finale?
Yeah, so that happened. We got the finale of season 1.
So all in all, I know I was back and forth on this.
Yes.
But I will say, as a whole, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
How about you?
As a whole, you were back and forth. I was really digging it from the beginning. By the time I got to the end, I just loved it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Each one of the series has its own thing. Like, I loved Moon Knight for the humor and the mentality of it. Like, it was just so fucked in the head. And Loki, of course, you know, for the time traveling, the alternate realities. Love that. But this one, I just really loved how wholesome it felt. Again, it did feel rushed. Like, I felt that the villains were kind of wedged in there. They could have either had the djinn there, the clandestine, or they could have had damage control. But I think by having both of them at the same time, it was just too much.
I can agree with that.
I fanned out a lot in the finale where they added some things, like when she said embiggen. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was always her thing. I love the fact that her entire outfit was created, well, her entire persona as a hero was created by those around her. You know, Bruno gave her the mask, the domino mask. Her mom made her the new outfit. The guy from the Red Daggers gave her the scarf. And her dad gave her her name.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's true. That's really cool.
Yeah, like the entire community that she's part of created her.
And she was also very much supported by the community. And like when the DODC tried to get her at the end, mm-hmm. and everyone, they all surrounded her. Even the police were against the DODC on this one.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. And then, of course, you know, the head lady, I can't think of her name, but she was, you know, given specific orders to pull back and not, you know, because this is bad PR for us. And she was basically like, yeah, fuck you.
You're attacking teenagers in a school. Like, yeah. That is bad.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was giving me big old Sam Raimi Spider-Man vibes.
Yes.
You know, when New York, like, started attacking the Goblin, or when they rescued him on the train. And yeah.
Yep. Yep. He's just a kid. It's all good stuff.
But yeah, I felt that this was, it was a great cap off, even if it was a little rushed. It really, really spoke to the whole family thing, you know, family community. Like, she's a hero that, you know, whereas you got Spider-Man, who nobody knows who he is under the mask, and especially now after No Way Home.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's kind of the protector that everyone knows is Spider-Man, but nobody knows who else he is. Like, she's pretty much known by her family, her friends, the Red Daggers. Like, half the world knows who this girl is. Zoe knows.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I kind of knew from when she saved me. Why didn't you say anything? Well, excuse me. I can't remember now why she said, why didn't you say anything? I think she just basically, like, because that'd be a dick move.
Yeah, that was it.
Like, why would I like do the that? Little kid that was like, I guess it's so bad that she caused me to break my leg because she was still learning her powers and did the best she could. Like,
yeah.
I like that little kid's summation.
It was so good. And I love that in the beginning she had no idea how to use her powers, and they slowly evolved. Like, she figured them out as she went.
No, again, I went into this not expecting much. I was back and forth on it, like I said, but I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to either the next season or seeing her in the new Captain Marvel flick. Cause obviously from the PS scene, you know.
Yeah. That, it's very interesting. I saw one theory that said that maybe, cause they said that there were two bracelets and we've only seen one of them so far. One theory says that maybe they're the quantum bands, which were forged in the quantum realm. And in the comics, there were two heroes, both named Quasar, weirdly enough, that would wield them. And when one of them was on Earth, or when one of them was around, the other one was sucked into an alternate pocket dimension, and vice versa. So only one of them could be out of the pocket dimension at a time, which almost seemed like that at the end. Like, Kamala got sucked out somewhere, and I did not say sucked off. She got sucked out, and then Carol appeared in a room where she's basically idolized, and and then it gave us the traditional Marvel sting, you know, she'll be back in the Marvels.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, good show, good stuff. They speaking of that kind of stuff, they have started production on season 2 of Loki.
Yes, I did see that as well. That the filming has started, so I'm here for that.
Me too. What'd you think of the Orville this week?
All right, so when I first started watching, I thought, boy, they really jumped the shark on this one. Holy cow. But kind of the more I watched it, the more I kind of got into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, because basically we were just talking, what, last week and I think the week before, how we were saying that all the Orville's done this season is rehash old plot lines.
Yeah.
And we open on this episode of them having a party at Gordon's place where he's playing the guitar badly. And, you know, he's showing a replica of the phone that they got from that earlier episode. And, you know, he talks about that girl. So you're like, oh, they're going to bring Leighton Meester back into this. You know they are.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure enough, although I was excited about the concept of, it was a very Star Trek moment where they discovered essentially time travel. You know, they have a device that could, like in this case, they sent a sandwich 30 seconds into the future and then waited for it to show up. And, you know, the Admiralty immediately was like, that needs to be under lock and key. There is no way that the Kalons can know about this. Nobody should know about this. So I was really excited about that aspect of it. You know, again, it felt like a very much Star Trek thing. We've discovered some tech. It's going to change the world, you know, the universe, and we've got to get it 18 blocks or 21 blocks or whatever to the nearest Federation outpost. So I was there for that. But when, you know, we had the little malfunction and Gordon got warped back in time, that was a bit of a groaner.
So for me, when he got warped back in time, my immediate thought was like, oh, I think Fonzarelli just jumped the shark.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I honestly thought it was going to be a jump the shark episode, or this was going to be the jump the shark moment when I saw that happen.
Yep.
But then as they go back in time to get him, and they end up 10 years in advance, and they find him, and he's found that girl, Laura, and he's got a wife and kids and everything else. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then when, like, the captain and, you know, number one, whatever, they're both like, yeah, you're breaking the law. We need to go back. And he's like, no, guys, like, I'm supposed to be here. Like, which, again, they already saw his obituary. I know they tried to explain it's still in temporal flux, bloody blah, blah. But when they were going to force him to go back, I was very surprised. And I was just like, very surprised. And then when he's like, fine, they're going to come with us. And they're like, no, he's not. And like, we'll take you by force. And he's like, no, you won't. Like, I was honestly shocked. And then when he's just like, hey, guess what? We're going to leave you here, but we're going to go 10 years back in time because we can. And we're going to get you then. So this never would have happened. I was like, wow, cocksuckers. Like that. And they didn't. They were very so like. Here's the thing, because later on we see, you know, he's talking to them because that's what they did. And he's just like, wow, that must have been a really hard decision for you guys to make. And he's just so understanding of it all because he doesn't have the emotions of that attachment of being married for 7 years and having his kids and everything that he went through.
He actually says to them, I can't believe I was that selfish.
Yeah, right. I know. And so, but I was just like, no, because here's my thing. Like the captain, none of them seemed emotionally upset about what they were going to do. They were so matter of fact about it. Like it completely made me look at them as like, they're the villains. They're the bad guys in this because they're being too nonchalant. They don't seem broken up enough about me. Just because they give you a knowing look and a sigh doesn't mean they're upset. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think I know what you're saying, but I don't think you're thinking of upset. You're thinking of sympathetic. Like, they were not sympathetic to him at all because they did get angry at him a number of times. They were like, you are breaking the law. Like, they were being dicks.
Right. And he's pleading his case. Like, look, I did what I was supposed to do for 3 years. I hid. I killed animals. Do you know how hard that was for me to do? Because where we're from, it's outlawed to kill animals. Yeah, here they don't care. But back there, I'm a serial killer.
Killed and ate.
Yeah, like, I killed and ate animals.
No fabricated stuff.
Yeah, and I hid for 3 years. And then after 3 years, I said, fuck it. I'm going to go find, you know, I'm going to go live my life because obviously you're never coming for me. Like, he was very passionate and emotional and pled his case and explained his point of view on things and his side of things. And they were just like, too fucking bad, bitch.
Yeah, he didn't do anything like play the stock market or use future knowledge to set himself up in a rich lifestyle. He used his piloting skills to get a job as a commercial airline pilot.
He lived his life instead of hiding in the woods, you know? What was I supposed to do, just die? Yeah, you should have. Like, here's the thing. They could have just said, like, fine, you can stay here and then leave and then get on the shuttle and be like, we just can't leave him here and then have the captain like, I know, we're going to go back. And get him, like, you know, we're going to go back 10 years and get him right after he got here. So this would have never happened, you know.
But to leave him with that knowledge.
Right. Instead of leaving him with the knowledge that that's what they're going to go do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just leave him with the knowledge, hey, we're going to let him stay here. So this version thinks everything's fine. We're going to stay here. When in reality, because that's what they could have done. And they could have showed sympathy and emotion and been like, I hate doing this to him. I feel like such an ass. And I think, but you know, this is the right thing. This, like, they could have given us that. And I think it would have been way better than what they did, because now to me, I just look at the command staff there on the Orville and I'm like, yeah, they're all pieces of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They really came across as assholes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it really wasn't a jump the shark episode.
No.
And at the end of the episode, the device they used to travel back in time is ruined. So then we have another kind of like, oh, really? Moment where they just travel the speed of light to go ahead in time. And they have to explain that the buffer they shut down prevents that from happening. But we're going to shut it down so it won't happen. And but
yeah, they traveled exactly this far and then exactly that far back.
When we saw Isaac with his human body.
Which is the actual actor who does his voice.
Yes. Your Kalon theory that you shared with me was just like, oh, this is actually possible.
Uh-huh.
Like, this makes that fear of yours even more believably, acceptably impossible and possible.
Yep. So, and it was born from the opening part of this episode. Like, basically, for the listeners out there, I'm theorizing that the new ensign who kind of appeared out of nowhere and she's got this miraculous ability to like think in quantum space or something. Oh, it never shows up in humans. Very rarely. I think she is an evolved Kalon. I think it's like Battlestar Galactica where she is a human form Kalon and she's infiltrated the ship. And so part of that was born from, these guys basically discovered time travel and they're like, okay, we got to get out of here. And the moment they head there, the Kalons are already there and they're like, give us the device. So they knew. So somehow they knew. They never touch upon that in the episode. They never say like, hey, how did they find out that we were going to be there? How did they find out we even had this device? So something's going on there. And then also, as I was looking at it, Isaac kept trying to endear himself to her. And he said that he feels like he owes her because she helped reactivate him. But I think that I think he sees through it. I think he knows that there's something up with her. And he's asking questions like, what do you like to do for hobbies? What are your pastimes? What's your favorite this?
I'm going to counteract your theory on that one because he got advice from one of the other crew members when he was in the last episode when he was like, you know, how can I get, like, basically someone said, you know, if you want to engage in discussion with her and try and mend fences, then get her talking about what she likes to do, because that's what people like. They want to talk about what they like, and that a lot of times can open up conversation and take you down a more positive road. So someone gave him advice on to do that, to try to become friends with her.
Fair enough.
So he's been trying to do that. But at the same time, it also does help your theory because that's what he's trying to do. And instead of her answering the questions, she's basically like, she won't answer. She doesn't want to. Yeah, she doesn't want to engage. And instead just says like, you know, like I'm a lesbian who was afraid to tell the person that she loved them until it was too late. And I'll never know how they felt about me because I was too afraid to say anything and you took that away from me. So I still think your theory is correct, but that of him getting to know her, that was suggested by a crew member in the last episode.
Okay. So here's another interesting one.
Yeah.
It could turn out that, you know, all this time she's been an undercover spy. It could also be, again, going back to the Cylon example, it could be that she doesn't even know.
Yes, absolutely. She may not know at all. You're absolutely correct. And so then she wouldn't know what her hobbies are. And so she's just like, I don't know. I'm not telling you because I don't really know myself.
Yeah. And wouldn't that make for some amazing drama? Because she's spending all this time hating on him. She built a life for herself that she'll find out is all false. Like, she was created to infiltrate. How could she trust herself? Blah, blah, blah. You know, they could have embedded her without her knowing and be just monitoring, you know, watching through her eyes, etc. They do see the Kalon lately seem to show up wherever the Orville is doing stuff.
Yes, it's very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I liked this episode better. Like you said, it felt like it was going to, don't get me wrong, they still did exactly what they've been doing, which is just rehashing another old story. They put a different twist on it this time. He actually got to be with the real her rather than the version of her that he kind of fabricated out of the phone and corrupted the whole ship with. But yeah, they're still rehashing stuff. And I don't know if that's part of the bigger plan or if it was part of their production issues because of COVID and switching over to Hulu. I don't know, but yeah, it's definitely noticed.
Oh, real quick. I know we're not on trailers, but I just kind of noticed this. That American Horror Stories 2 trailer that you shared with me.
Yeah.
The sequel to the anthology, actual each episode's a different episode, anthology one or whatever. Yeah. It is a product of FX, but apparently it's also exclusively on Hulu. It's not going to air on FX.
Well, maybe that means that we'll get some more risky content.
Could be. That was actually my thought. Yeah.
Yeah, because segueing there, you know, I don't know about you, but boy, the first two episodes back of What We Do in the Shadows sure did have a lot of F-bombs.
Holy cow, yeah. Like, I anticipate there being some cursing in this, but that was more than I anticipated.
There was so much cursing. Like, they were and not just that, but it wasn't just like, you know, what the fuck is this? But, like, Laszlo kept saying, why are we not fucking? Let us go fuck.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they were fucking right in front of Nandor. Yep. And he's like, you could join in. And like there's not a. So, yeah, that's another one of those examples. It's like, holy shit. I know this is FX, but it's basically a Hulu show at this point. And holy Christ. Love it. But whew.
I'm not unhappy about it at all.
No. Nope.
So
what'd you think of these two episodes that they brought us?
Well, I like the fact that it's like a year later, little Colin, not Colin Mockery, Jesus and Crow, but little Colin, which they refuse to call him that.
Colin Robinson?
Yeah, Colin Robinson. They don't call him that.
Well, only Laszlo won't.
Laszlo won't, yeah. But he's been nursing him for a year, and Guillermo has been in a crate for a week at the house because, you know, she shipped it back, and the house was obviously all just terrible because Laszlo wasn't taking care of it and it really fell in disrepair in a year.
To the point that a tree fell through it. They were just like trying to cut off some of the limbs and shit.
And some squirrel raccoons live there and this and that. But Guillermo had the place cleaned up pretty damn fast by the second.
Well, yeah, because there's a baby there and he realized that he has to protect the baby.
Yeah. I like them a lot. I like both episodes quite a bit.
I realized as I was watching it that I miss Colin Robinson a lot. Like, he was one of the best characters. He was one of the things that I looked forward to the most each week. And I think we've talked about that before, too. Like, he was just so great with his deadpan delivery and his weird bullshit. And so, you know, the fact that he's in baby form and, you know, as Laszlo says, he's like, I'm raising him and he's not the same. So I don't want to call him Colin because he came out of Colin Robinson's chest, but he is not acting like him.
Yeah, no, he's not.
And it seems like
he's trying to make him less lame, as he put it, or less of a loser, or however he worded it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I thought when in episode 2, when Nadia was like, we should open a vampire nightclub, I thought that was the gimmick of episode 2. That seems to be the underlying theme for this season.
Yeah, it does seem like that's how it's going to go. So
they're basically turning the base of operations for the Vampiric Council here into a vampire nightclub because, you know, she tried pitching it in England and they were like, yeah, everybody always comes up with new ideas. They don't work. Stop it.
Anything? Well, what else happened in these episodes?
Well, like you were saying, Guillermo was trapped for a week because, as you remember, he was supposed to go with Nandor, in order to, you know, tour the homelands, and Nandor promised he would turn him into a vampire. Then at the last second, Laszlo was like, nope, you're going to help Nadia. So she packed him up and brought him back along with a little doll version of her, which I fucking love.
I do love the little dolls. Well, you know what I mean?
Nandor asked Guillermo to be his best man. He hasn't picked a wife yet, but you know, he wants him to be the best man and help him find a wife. So first he tried just like going to the dog park and telling women that he has lots of riches and treasure and, you know, they should be his wife. Oh, that was the thing. He never made it to his ancestral homeland because he met a family from Wisconsin. And I loved when he was making fun of the way that they talk and he like did the accent and everything.
He, like, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was great.
No, he, that's right. He found a djinn.
Yes.
And he used the djinn to bring back all his wives from this painting that were dead and then realized he really didn't love or like any of them.
Yeah, he started doing like The Bachelor and getting rid of them. Now, do you remember?
How did he get so many wishes, though? Where did I miss that point of the explanation?
So, I don't know. But basically, like, he rubbed the lamp to show that it didn't have a djinn in it. And Guillermo's like, have you ever tried rubbing it the other way? And he's like, no, I've never tried rubbing it the other way. See, nothing. And then the djinn popped out. And he's like, really? You've had it all these years and you never thought to rub it the other way? But yeah, the djinn was like, you get like 55 wishes or something. It was some ridiculous number. But he's not even like a regular djinn or genie that like, you know, is right there on your heels. Like, he's just sitting in the other room reading the paper. He seems very bored with the whole thing. And so, like you said, Nandor makes one of his wishes. Oh, he's like, how many wishes do I get? And the djinn was like, do you wish to know the number? And Guillermo's like, no, don't. And he's like, yes, I do. And he's like, 55. So that's where he found out the number. But it was there's no explanation as to why he gets that many.
Yeah, nothing that makes sense, at least.
Right. And then he wished to have all of his past wives, which were also some husbands, because, you know, he was a progressive guy, come back to life, and they all start cursing at him. So then he wished that they could all speak English. And then he starts doing bachelor style with them. And when they don't work out, he sends them to go get a gold coin from the djinn, and the djinn just vaporizes them.
Yeah, which I think is hilarious.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I loved when they went to the chamber for the Vampiric High Council, and Kristen Shaw was just sitting there at the desk, and she'd been sitting there for 1 year waiting for them to return. They're like, why didn't you get up? She's like, oh, well, I wanted to a couple of times, but I thought if I get up now, that'll be the moment that they come back. And basically Nadia says, we're going to turn this into a dance club. And she's like, no, we're not. And they start fighting about it. Well, she has all the wraiths, and the wraiths go about absolutely fucking with all the construction workers, like cutting holes in the floor, tipping over their ladders. Like, they're just straight up killing the contractors over and over again.
That's the other thing this show doesn't care about is how many people they kill.
Yeah. They were killing them by the boatload this time.
Yes, they were.
And Kristen Schaal's character finally says, you know, nope. They convince her to make it a nightclub. So she tells all the wraiths, no more killing people. And one of the contractors walks in, they just absolutely destroy him. So they basically tell her that it's because her heart of hearts still wants to, you know, keep the place as is for the Vampiric Council. So Laszlo decides to psychoanalyze her because, you know, he spent all that time with Freud. You know, Freud had that theory about hand envy, and then they went into a bathhouse together, and suddenly he changed that to penis envy.
He tries very in vain to hypnotize her and get to the root of all things, and of course that just goes on comedic levels.
Uh-huh.
It's a great show. I think they're actually constructing the nightclub, are they not, by the end of it?
Yes, they've agreed to start constructing it. I'm hoping by the next episode we get some of that.
Yeah, no, great show. I'm glad
one episode
back.
A week.
Yeah, we got two to start, then one a week after that.
Yeah.
We got in a couple weeks we got Resident Alien coming back, or early August.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty awesome.
That is cool. Let's see. What about episode 4 of Umbrella Academy?
This was a good episode. This is the one where we get to see kind of Harlan's backstory, kind of sped up a little bit about what happened with him and his mom and where they ended up after. I guess Victor left them.
Yeah. And what happened with him kind of bookended the episode.
Yeah, it certainly did. His mother got cancer, she died, but we got to see like they constantly had to move because he kept, I'm not going to say like screwing things up or anything, because that wasn't the case, but they constantly had to move.
Mm-hmm. He'd use his powers or he'd get into trouble or.
Yeah. It was, what was the name of the episode? Oh, Kugel Blitz, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when she died, he snapped in the hospital. And we see at the end of the episode what resulted in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, it is, because I don't know, like, they're going to have to explain what happened there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Essentially, the Umbrella Academy kids track down that all of their mothers were killed on the same day at the same time. So none of them are supposed to be here. That's why the paradox exists.
Right. They don't know why. Their father, quote unquote, didn't admit, like, he didn't say what caused it. Like, they assumed he was the one that caused them to have this issue or caused their mothers to die, and he had no idea what they were talking about.
Right.
So.
Because he had decided back in the 60s that these guys were schmucks and he didn't want to adopt them. So,
yeah.
But apparently my theory right now is that Harlan knew about all of them because of his time with Victor, either that or his power is just, he said that he's connected to them. You know, when he explained it in this episode, he said every time there's somebody with powers nearby, he can feel it in his bones.
Well, here's the other thing that was interesting, though. So Harlan's with Victor, and he explains what happened to his life to her and everything, to him, everything. We also have Sloane, who is part of the Sparrow Academy, and Luther is trying to protect her because they're in love and they did the deed and everything. And, you know, that's what happens when you fall in love with someone, or you meet a girl and she touches you down there. You're in love instantly when you're as lonely and hard up as Luther is. But anyhow, that being said, he's trying to protect her. But the other Umbrella's like, no, her and her family just tried to kill us. And she's like, well, she tried to warn us, kind of. And so, what was it? Allison uses her I heard a rumor and tries to get her to tell her where the briefcase is. Sloane doesn't know. Eventually, Luther talks him into returning Sloane, and she's going to kind of work on the inside. Of course, when they get there, Ben is like, we want Harlan as well. Because Ben's trying to do a power play because he's the new number one, quote unquote. And we really find out that the Sparrows, maybe they work as a team and they treat their dad like shit and they're hugely popular, but they are fucked up, infighting, can't get along with each other, worse than the Umbrellas. The Umbrellas almost seem like they love each other more and respect each other more than the Sparrows do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sparrows, it's all about power. Who's on top? Who's number one?
Yeah. That's all they kind of care about. So they're obviously they're not going to turn Harlan over, but we find Allison's upset. Diego tries to comfort her. They go have a soda together, or slush puppy together, or whatever it is. And then they go find a bar with a Confederate flag outside so they can go get in a fight.
Yeah, which they conveniently didn't show us this episode.
Yeah, no, they did not.
And I love the build up to it too. Like he sits there and he lets her vent for a little bit and he talks to her and he's like, you know what I like to do? He's like, we're going to go over there and we're going to pick a fight with those rednecks because I'm Hispanic and you're black and they're not going to like us. So let's go do it.
And he basically is like, that's why I did the stuff I did. That's why I would fight and do all this vigilante shit because it made me feel better about myself.
Yep.
Five and Lila. We last episode we saw them. They got zapped back to the commission, which was finally falling apart and all wintry. And they find this chamber, which is apparently made to prevent paradoxes from going inside, which that's convenient. But they find the founder, and he's in an iron lung. And it turns out the founder is Five.
Yeah.
Very old version of Five. And so that sucks. And basically he tells them. they make fun of him. And then basically he tells them not to save the world before he dies.
Yep.
Stan and Klaus, they're being forced to go clean rooms. It's a punishment that that Diego is giving Stan. And
Stan tried to use a Molotov and burn down banners in the entryway.
Yes, that's right. So he's being punished. He has to go clean rooms and this and that. And we find what's rather interesting is in all that. Somehow they end up in this white buffalo room, and Klaus is having some kind of flashes. And then he turns around and Stan's like, look at this cool spear gun. And he shoots Klaus right through the chest.
Which I hated. I hate that. That's another one of those tropes, you know, the kid or the fuck up person who's like playing around with a loaded weapon and goes, oh, this is so cool. And then it accidentally goes off and kills somebody else.
Yeah.
Tired of that. But anyway.
Yeah, that's some pretty weak sauce right there. That's for sure.
I was picking up on it immediately. I was like, oh my God, look at that white buffalo. There was a white buffalo painting in Dad's room at the Sparrow Academy.
Yep.
You know, must be some kind of tie. And then the white buffalo was there on the wall and it's called the White Buffalo Room. So I have a feeling Klaus isn't dead.
Yeah.
Cause you know, his power is to talk to the dead. So maybe something is going to, I don't know. It was very interesting.
We get Harlan, and this is the big payoff. Well, Harlan is with Victor, and he finds all the printed news articles of the mothers that died, and he tears them down and brings them to Victor and says, why do you have these? What does this mean? Why do you have these? And so the assumption for us is just like, because you had said earlier, like what we find out basically it's all their dead moms, but he doesn't seem to know anything. Like he didn't seem to know their connection because he was like, why do you have these? And then we see the flash that when he kind of snapped in the hospital with his mom when she died, he somehow killed all the Umbrella Academy's mothers, created this grandfather paradox.
Yeah, it's like he ruptured their brains from the inside. Because all of them, like their heads became a little bit swollen. They had blood vessels bursting. Their noses and eyes started bleeding.
Yeah.
And they all collapsed at the exact same moment.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And, but like, I'm not convinced that he was connected to them and knew who they were. Because he didn't seem to know why. They didn't seem to know why he had, like, why they had the clippings or how they were related.
Well, don't forget, too, that, you know, I brought this up last episode. The intro changed this season. You know, instead of saying that whatever it was, like 48 or 52 women gave birth around the world, now it was like 18.
Yes.
So it could be that he killed not just their parents, but a bunch of others.
Yep.
Because if he is somehow connected to special people and feels them around him at all times, then it could be that he just went absolutely nuclear and lashed out at special people, being mad that, you know, all of this was caused by Victor and his family. Because they kind of, you know, basically fucked off. They rewound time. killed the handler, and then just left Sissy and Harlan. They were like, peace, we gotta go. So he probably blamed them for everything that happened subsequently.
Most likely. I mean, that makes logical sense.
Yep.
So. Oh, hell's bells. All right. I think that covers all of Umbrella.
I think so. It was a pretty intense episode.
So we have watched two episodes of Westworld.
Yes. Although, according to every headline that I've been reading today, episode 4 is the payoff. Like, okay. Not just the payoff for this season, but the payoff for this series so far.
Okay, well, interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think of the show?
I think I had a hard time getting back into it. I think
same here. Like, even the idea of sitting here and discussing it with you in deep detail just doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those where it's a very intellectual show and there was so much going on. And I feel like when we were discussing it live, it was one thing. But now that a year or 2 years have gone by, whatever it's been, like, even with a recap, I was like, I don't remember half this shit. You know, I don't remember why they're doing this, and I don't remember why. Long story short, in the first two episodes, it seems that William is trying to start up Westworld again. He's basically replacing everybody that stands in his way with a host.
Yep.
Killing them and replacing them with a host, and then
he can get it, so he can get what he wants.
Yep. But then we discover that he himself is a host and the real him is being held up in a Vitruvian Man style thing down in a basement where Tessa Thompson's character,
who is Dolores,
except that we've also got Dolores out there writing under the name of, what is it, Christine or something?
Well, we have Christina, who doesn't realize she's Dolores. So we have a Dolores body host under the name Christina, who doesn't seem to know that she's a host and is having some very – and her story almost seems unconnected from everybody else's stories that we have going on.
Yeah, because she's like a game developer, but – people are saying, when you write this game, it's affecting us in real life. Please let us go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Some guy kills himself over it.
Yeah. Who I kind of recognize, but not really.
I recognize him from the series 12 Monkeys.
Yep. Okay. Sure. Maybe that's how I recognize just another show. But he also somehow looks a lot like Caleb.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyhow, Maeve and Caleb are together again. Caleb tried to live a life of his own, but, you know.
Tried to live a life of his own with a wife and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Maeve's nope.
But they, the hosts are trying to kill Caleb, so Maeve saves him, and then now they're going to head out to try to find out what's going on and stop all this. And that's when we really find out about how hosts are replacing senators or other important people to get what they want. You know, the Tessa Thompson Dolores. Mm-hmm. We find that Westworld is open again, except now it's called the Roaring Twenties, or take place in the Roaring Twenties.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm pretty sure at the end of episode one, we got to see Teddy, but then fuck all in episode two.
Yes, we did. And Charlotte, or Christina, that is, finds out about apparently she records what she's saying to help build her games. Mm-hmm. And she finds one where she's talking about Peter and his death, which is the guy that killed himself. And so there was a hospital, a mental health hospital in New Jersey that Peter, it was believed, he donated money to for a wing.
Yeah.
And when she shows up to check it out, it is apparently abandoned. It looks like he donated the money years ago, even though he just died. Yep. And there's all these drawings of the same tower in there that she kind of recognized or whatever. Here's what's interesting to me. It also seems like Christina's timeline is further in the future than, say, Caleb and Maeve and everybody else because she has that self-driving car.
Yeah, there were a few things like that that just seemed a little off.
I'm wondering if, like, this Christina character is in her old Delos game park, you know?
Oh, maybe. Or, like you said, she's in a future timeline, and this is after it's been open for a while, so maybe the games that they're talking about are, like Westworld, you know, Westworld or Shogun World or whatever. They were all essentially theme parks. Yeah. So maybe when this guy said you're writing us in these games, she's not designing games like video games. She's just, well, maybe she is, but maybe this is the next evolution. Like, people are controlling avatars and stuff.
Right.
So maybe that guy that killed himself was a host because they've become self-aware. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I didn't dislike either episode, but at the same time, like, yeah, I kind of struggled to fall back into place.
Yeah, because, I mean, even as we're sitting here talking about it, it seems intriguing and it feels cool, but it's late, you know? It's late to the party.
Yep. Yep, I agree with that.
And we've all got work tomorrow, so, you know, we can't stay up all night.
I think the only other show we have to discuss is Stranger Things.
I will say for our rewatch of Doctor Who, got through 4 episodes. We got the 2-parter Time of the Angels and Flesh and Stone, where we got introduced to the idea that, you know, that which has that which bears the image of an angel is itself an angel.
Oh, yep. Yep. That's true. I remember that now.
Watch The Vampires of Venice. Another fun, interesting one-off episode, but the first one where we brought Rory back into it, because, you know, she's been running away from her wedding, so we had to go pick up Rory. And then we just had Amy's Choice, which was fun. I always loved that one, the one with the Dream Lord. You know, oh, you're the Time Lord, I'll be the Dream Lord. And it's Arnim Zola from Marvel. I think you're muted.
Yep, I was. Anyways, yes. I kind of want to rewatch Doctor Who myself, but you're really doing it for me. So.
Oh, we're okay. So the next two that we have are, it's another 2-parter. It's the Hungry Earth and I can't remember. It's 2-parter. Let's see. The Hungry Earth and Cold Blood.
Oh, yep. Good episodes.
But then we're hitting episode 10. Vincent and the Doctor. Heavy, but awesome. And then The Lodger, which, again, is fucking funny as shit to see Lodger Craig as, you know, what he'll eventually be the host of late night TV in America. And, yeah. So I'm excited. Then we got the Pandorica opens, the Big Bang, and then we got the one of the best Christmas episodes, I think, which was the Christmas Carol one.
Oh no, that episode was phenomenal.
Yep. Now, I sent you Did I send you that article about when they talked to Stephen Moffat? You know, he has conflicting thoughts about his best Doctor Who episode, and I friggin' love that because he basically was saying, you know, everybody loves Blink. Everybody thinks Blink was the best episode ever. He's like, for me, I didn't like it that much because it didn't have very much of the Doctor in it. You know, it wasn't enough. He said, for me, I think my favorite episode that I did was Listen. He goes, and nobody likes Listen. Listen
was so good.
I know. He was like, nobody puts it on their list. Nobody ever talks about it. And you know, they probably all forget about it. But I love that episode. And I sent it to you. I'm like, dude, we talked about this on the podcast. We both loved it.
I thought Listen was an absolutely tremendous episode.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get to that.
Yeah, you got to wait a little. Well, a little ways to go.
Yeah.
You got to get to the Capaldi episodes.
And I will also say we finished season 1 of Only Murders in the Building. When I first started this, you and I were talking on the podcast and I watched the first 2 episodes and then kind of like fell out of it because, you know, sometimes that happens when you're watching a show and nobody else is watching it. So you're like, nah, you know, if it's not riveting to you and nobody else is there to talk about it, you're like, eh, well, I'll just kind of let it slide. So now that I have somebody to watch it with, we sat down and we watched it, and it got better and better every episode, I got to tell you. Like, it was a compelling story. It was a good murder mystery. There was a lot of good humor. There were plenty of fucks, which was really odd to hear from, like, Martin Short and Steve Martin. Those two play well on each other no matter what. Selena Gomez actually did a great job playing a very disinterested millennial with the deadpan and the, you know, I just don't fucking care kind of vibe. But the... like, the episodes compelled you. Every episode, you'd reach the end, and you're like, what? I need to see another episode. And then the season ended on a huge cliffhanger that I loved. So season two, there's 5 episodes out now, and they're doing an episode a week. Sorry, there's 4 episodes out now. The 5th one comes out tomorrow. And they've already started or said that they're going to be renewed for a 3rd season. So honestly, like, if you like a good comedy murder mystery, I highly recommend it. It is a good show. It's only half-hour episodes, 10 episodes per season. So I really do think that you would like it. You and Kate might like it. I don't know. But yeah, if you like a good murder mystery, check it out. Only Murders in the Building.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. We recently restarted watching Community while we were in Canada. It's on Netflix there. It's on Netflix here. So we're kind of like, that's our now throw on background noise show. And we just, you know, you can watch it and laugh and fun. And working on the part 2 of season 2 finale, the paintball episodes.
Nice.
And it's funny because I was reading, and I don't know which one it is because I haven't looked yet. But in the comments, it states that, or the profile, whatever, that there's an episode missing from season 2.
Really?
And I want to know why, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was just reading an article the other day talking about how Dan Harmon got fired from Community. And it basically comes down to him completely blowing up at them and constantly saying, fire me, I dare you. You know, every time he'd bring something to the network and he'd be like, I want to do this. They're like, well, no, we don't think so. And he'd be like, try to fire me, I dare you. And yeah. So one day they were finally like, you know what? Fuck you. You're fired.
That'll do it, won't it?
Yep.
So,
Stranger Things?
Yeah. Let's dive into the old Stranger Things.
The final 2 episodes?
Yeah. A grand total of like 6 hours of TV time. No, not yeah. That many, but a whole lot, that's for sure. So what'd you think?
I had said earlier when we started watching it that, you know, I fell off. You know, season 1 was phenomenal. Season 2, okay. Season 3, like, it really kind of lost me. I was bored with season 3. Mm-hmm. But then this one really brought me back in, especially once we got the big reveal at the end of part 1. You know, I really liked having it all brought back around, finding out the origin of Vecna, which, yeah, we're just calling him Vecna now. That's
his name.
That's who he is.
It's not one. It's Vecna.
Nope, it's not one, and it's not – oh, God, what was his name? What was his real name?
I don't remember.
But yeah, so it is officially Vecna, and so it really brought me back around. Henry, yes.
His name's Henry, yeah.
Yeah. I still feel, so my thoughts are this. Going into the final episode, I was like, how are they going to stretch this out over 2.5 hours? And then they did, but they really stretched it out over 2.5 hours. I feel that this entire season could have been cut down by several hours.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, because when this episode seemed like it was over, it's like, oh, no, there's still 40 minutes to go. Okay.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. Yeah,
we had like the 2 days later after the earthquake 40-minute epilogue, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Chapter 8, we have Vecna, who had grabbed Nancy in the last episode in Chapter 7, basically shows her, this is what's going to happen to Hawkins. Go tell your friends. Typical villain stuff, you know what I mean? He needs 4 gates to make his plan work. And he has three of them. Max was going to be the fourth. So Max is like, you know what? I'll just take my headphones off and we'll figure out how to kill him and attack him and we'll do this. And so that's kind of what they do. You know, they all have their plan. Well, Nancy, Steve, I don't remember. Not 11. She wasn't there, but Nancy, Steve, Max, and the others there. Cause we have Eddie and,
Dustin.
Thank you. You know, they're all in Hawkins, and then in, where are they thinking now? Arizona, Nevada, wherever they're at. We have 11, Mike, Will, I want to say Brian, and then the new buddy Argyle?
Argyle, the new guy.
Yeah, they're all together, and 11's like, you know what? I can go into the darkness, if you will, and help them that way, because I can project myself into Max's mind and help them that way.
So real that was quick, kinda,
yeah.
You mentioned like 6 hours. The two episodes at the end combined for just part two were 4 hours.
Yes.
And the whole season has been over 13 hours. So yeah, you weren't that far.
Yeah, no, it was long two episodes.
Yeah.
But before all that, because I'm jumping on piggyback episode 9. In episode 8, you know, we have 11 in the bunker with Brenner, with Papa, and Owens. And Owens is like, yeah, we're gonna go stop this now. And Brenner's like, no, she's not ready yet. So he essentially traps Owens and kidnaps 11 and forces her to stay there because he's the bad guy. And 11 essentially realizes, like, the whole time Papa's just been using her to try to bring Henry back from the upside down, Vecna. Sullivan, who wants to kill 11, shows up at the bunker. They raid it. They freaking kill everybody, except Owens, of course. Brenner and 11, they get out of there. Brenner shoots him. Brenner gets shot. 11 still has, like, the inhibitor around her neck, but she manages to still use all her powers and make the helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm.
Brenner frees her before he dies. Uses remote control to release the inhibitor.
Did you get a little Luke and Yoda kind of vibe there where he was like, you know, you're not ready? And she's like, yes. I need to go help my friends. No, you're not ready. You need to keep training.
Yeah, absolutely. But Yoda wasn't being selfish and Brenner was being selfish. So.
Yeah.
So they all show up and Mike and Will and company show up and they leave with 11. In Russia, Hopper and Joyce and Murray and Yuri, you know, they've all escaped the prison. They've managed to get away from everybody there. And they find the mind flayer in the prison as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they escape. We're into episode 9 now. And that's where Max, Lucas, and Erica, they're at the Creel house. And Steve and Nancy and Robin, they go in the upside down so they can attack Vecna. Because when Vecna makes himself visible and vulnerable when he's in the upside down, when he's trying to get into Max's mind. Mm-hmm. So that's why Max is going to allow it to happen.
Or any of his victims. They just want to, they figure he's closest to Max.
Exactly. 11 shows up, like we said. 11 and Vecna have a big fight. He's like, I've always controlled this since you sent me here. I've spent years searching the place. I control everything here. 11's getting beat up. She's getting killed. Max is getting her arms and legs broken. I mean, there was a lot to lead to this. Mike finally tells 11 that he loves her. And so she gets the power to, get Vecna and save Max.
Cause Mike is the heart.
Yes. Yeah. Mike's the heart.
Cause Will, Will painted that painting that Elle had him do, you know, she commissioned him. You're the heart, Mike. And They have confirmed, by the way, when they have that heart-to-heart in the back of the van, and, you know, Will's like, no, she loves you, and, you know, she's, you need to be the heart, and blah, 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 and he's basically, like, hyping Mike up and saying, she'll always need you, she's always going to be there, blah, 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 and then he turns away and cries. He is very gay, and he is very much in love with Mike, and, you know, was trying to do the right thing and say, yep, you be with her, I know you want to be with her, but he really wants to be with him.
All right, well, there we go, folks. So even though like Eleven manages to stop Vecna at this point, it's a little too late because Max, you know, dies and, the gates open and Hawkins gets torn asunder and they call it an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad earthquake and all this black shit came out of the ground and vines and stuff and weird clouds going into the sky.
Molten magma.
Yeah. On the other side of things, Hopper and Joyce and Murray go back to the prison so they can kill the Demogorgons because they think this will help weaken Vecna to help save, to give Eleven a better chance.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of confused how they figured that all out. Like, I know they talked to Owen's friend, but yeah.
They had pieced something together where they said that, you know, it's part of the upside down. The Demogorgon seemed to be connected to that mist that was in there. They were like, so okay, if we can destroy that mist, they knew that it was a hive mind. They knew that they all worked together as a hive mind. So they were like, if we can weaken part of it, then it was a bit of a stretch. Never should have happened.
No, it shouldn't have. We get a pretty badass fight with Hopper and the Demogorgon where Hopper has fucking He-Man sword.
Uh-huh. Conan's sword. It's Conan's sword. It's from Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, did they? Okay, I saw He-Man sword. Like, that's what I saw when I saw
it. I did it first, too, but they asked him about it. And he's like, no, it actually came from, you know, it's a prop from Conan the Destroyer.
Okay, fair enough. Hopper beheads the Demogorgon. That was a pretty cool action fight. We get the flamethrower killing some of the other creatures.
Yeah.
It was all pretty badass and awesome.
Damn straight.
You know, 2 days later, after the earthquake, people are fleeing the town. Max is in a coma, but she's all casted up. Wilkins sends Vecna still alive and around. The Upside Down is leeching into Hawkins. Hopper and Joyce and everybody show back up. There's a big reunion. Everyone's hugging and loving and happy to see each other. You know, Nancy and Steve, they're volunteering to help people. Robin, you know, she's talking to her girl that she's been crushing on for quite a while now. It's not so much a happy ending, but it's like, okay, we're setting us up for the next season, which we don't even get till, like, is it 2024?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they said that there's going to be a time jump in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to be a 5-year time jump or a 6-month time jump or what.
But there's a lot going on, you know, there's a lot going on in these episodes. One thing that was very underwhelming for me was the douchebag there.
The bully, you
know, the bully. And yeah, the bully on the basketball team.
Yeah.
Who gets a gun and he is just
unhinged.
Well, basically, but he's just beating the shit out of Lucas in the attic.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the Hellfire Club is a cult and this and that. And Lucas gets the upper hand and beats him up to try to save, you know,
Max
and get her headphones on her, but he can't because he, you know, Luke, the bad guy, broke it. And then when Hawkins starts to open up, you know, the bully dies, but it's very unsatisfying because you just have to be in a lane, a place where the line opened up and, you get deteriorated in half. And it's almost like, that's fucking lame.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, for as much of a douchebag as he was and showing up at the friggin' Army Surplus flea market, I'm going to say, and getting his big gun and leading his group of people, like, he rallied the entire town, and then the entire town was like, yeah, we don't care anymore. So him and, you know, his other two teammates went looking for trouble.
Yeah.
And, for all that buildup to then have him just, like, melted, kind of lame.
Yeah, That was very unfulfilling, unsatisfying. You wanted to see Lucas kill him or something. Just not.
Yeah.
It was very unsatisfying.
Yep. Eddie bit the bullet for the team. You know, him and Dustin both did their best. By the way, the Master of Puppets was not in the original script.
No.
And he actually can play the guitar like that. That was him actually doing it. He was like, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And so they added that in for him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Fucking badass scene, drawing all the bats to him. You know, he sends Dustin back through and, you know, says, I'm not going to run anymore. You know, then Hartley runs away until the bats surround him. And he stands a pretty good, you know, final ground against the bats. But he succumbs in the end. I don't know if you've seen this, but the big theory around that is that in D&D lore, there was a character who fell, was killed by bats, and ended up turning into a vampire. His name was Kaz, and he became known as Kaz the Bloody Hand because he became Vecna's right hand and helped him march across and lay waste and blah, 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 until he finally turned on him. So people are theorizing that either Eddie or Max will become a vampire out of this, since it's all based on D&D and that's part of D&D lore. So that's a theory. Who knows if it'll hold any weight or not. I mean, this is based on D&D, but it's very like light on D&D. You know, the stuff that they throw out there, like Vecna and the Demogorgon and the Mind Flayer, it's not like you can draw complete 100% parallels through all of these. I mean, Christ, Vecna was a god. Like, Vecna was actually a god, mostly of orcs. And, you know, the Mind Flayers, there are several Mind Flayers. They're a race of beings. So, you know, we'll see. I think it's a fun theory, but I'm not putting any kind of stock in it right now. I am sad to see Eddie go, though. I think he was one of the best characters, not just this season, but in general. I think that he had one of the best arcs for as short as it was, and I would have loved to have seen him more. I guess some of the cast members, like I can't even think of Millie Bobby 11. Brown.
Yeah.
They kind of called out the Duffer Brothers, and they're like, why didn't you kill more people, you cowards? You know, you gave everybody
kill anyone on the main cast, if you will, either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
But they also, the Duffer Brothers came back and said, you know, well, we killed Barb in the first season and they haven't stopped giving a shit for it. So.
Yeah, that is true.
And they killed Eddie and they're probably going to get a lot of shit for that. Because
Oh, they're already getting so much shit for it.
But I guess if they killed Mike or Will, no one would care.
No, in fairness, though, like Barb wasn't a great character. We barely got to see her in like one episode. Eddie was fucking awesome. And he, like I said, he had a good character arc because he started off as just like the metalhead guy who runs the D&D club in the school / sells drugs on the side. And, you know, by the end of it, he was protecting people. He was a hero.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Again, Russia went on too long. There was just too much Russia in there. It just, ugh. And what's, I know it was the 80s, but what's up with parents just leaving their kids?
Well, I didn't think she planned on, she was leaving her kids with her adult son, if you will.
Yeah.
Joyce, for instance. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she assumed that she was going to get stuck in Russia and, you know.
Yeah, she was going to rescue Hopper from a Russian prison, and they didn't know exactly what was going on. I mean, she should have been like, look, guys, just in case mommy doesn't come back.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So, oh, movies.
I've got zero.
I've got
so it's all you.
Several.
Eight.
So for the first time in a long time, Kate and I watched 22 Jump Street.
Had you watched 21 before that?
No, we didn't watch 21. Kanan's seen it. I've seen it, but we did not watch 21. But we did watch 22 Jump Street. It's still absolutely hilarious. We laughed ruckusly. The scene where Jonah Hill's character's like, I had sex with a girl, and then you know, and then later on when Channing Tatum's just like realizing that was the boss's daughter or the captain, the sergeant's daughter or whatever. That was outstanding. Like, I was still just as funny as the first time I saw it.
One of us actually ended up on the floor of the theater. We came out of our seat. We were laughing so hard at that.
Well, I saw it for the first time at when we went to Rhode Island Comic Con.
That's right.
We watched it in the hotel room. We all came in my hotel room because I brought my laptop, and we watched it on the TV. And like, we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Like, that was a good loud ruckus laughter of night of laughter in the room when we watched that.
It was wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. Let's see. Watched Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
That's the only version that I will recognize.
Fair enough. Haven't seen it in a long time. Some of the practical effects are super cheesy. I still have a very hard time when Arnold and company and his woman there are blasted out into the dunes of Mars, and it takes like a really long time for that atmosphere to form, and they somehow don't die even though their eyes are bulging out of their head. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would have been dead like instantly. And it's just, yeah, but Kanan wanted to watch First Blood.
Okay.
So Rambo First Blood, we watched that. Still enjoy it. We watched a couple of Arnold Schwarzenegger flicks. Not Arnold Schwarzenegger, sorry. Steven Seagal flicks. First with Hard to Kill. And then Under Siege, because that's what was available for us on the old Netflix in Canada. Kanan had not seen either one of those. I enjoyed them for what they were.
Yeah. You
know? I hadn't seen either one in a long time. And so those are all the movies I'd seen before. 22 Jump Street, Total Recall, Hard to Kill, First Blood, Under Siege. I got three new-to-movie movies. One of them you've been wanting me to watch for quite a long time. We watched Willy's Wonderland.
Okay. What'd you think of Willy's Wonderland?
So did I miss out on this? Or does Arnold Schwarzenegger literally – I mean, oh, geez, I'm crow. Nicolas Cage literally not have a single line in the movie?
Not a single goddamn line is spoken.
All right. He has not even one.
And there's no way that I couldn't say anything along those lines. Yeah. Like, it has to be experience, because I didn't know it going in either.
Yeah. The other lead girl there, whatever her name was, Sarah, Emily, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Not a great actress.
No.
All in all, I enjoyed the movie. It was stupid. Animatronic mascots that have now possessing the souls of pedophiles or serial killers, whatever it was. Yeah, like that was just craziness. I enjoyed it. I thought it was crazy, dumb, stupid. Very interesting, but all in all, I enjoyed the film.
So my whole reason for selling on this, you're right, it's a crazy, dumb, stupid movie. If that had not been Nicolas Cage, it would have been a terrible movie. It was the fact that this was a Nicolas Cage movie, that he is predominantly on the poster, that they said this is a Nicolas Cage movie, and he has zero fucking speaking parts. Like, he's in the entire movie and never says a single line, was a masterpiece.
Yeah, it really is kind of wild that he doesn't have a single line in the movie. I mean, it's
and I was like, I can't say anything, because if I say even something, then it kind of ruins the illusion. Like, if I had said there's something really unique about his character, you know, you'd be looking for it. If I said, you know, this is something that you've never seen before, like, no matter what, I just had to be like, you need to watch it, because I feel like it had to be experienced like I experienced it. You know, the two of us were sitting there watching it. We're like, he hasn't spoken yet. Is he literally not going to speak this entire movie? Like, I thought maybe at the end he'd say something. Nope.
Yeah, I turned to Kanan. And I said, did I miss out on something, or did he, Nick Cage did not have a single line in this movie, a single word, say a single word in this movie. He's like, yeah, no, he didn't. I'm like, okay, all right. I didn't miss out on anything then.
Nope.
Rented two Red Boxes. Okay. Watched Licorice Pizza.
How's that?
I was very excited to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the trailer. I thought it was going to be kind of unique and quirky, which it was. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson flick.
Yeah.
And it's got rave reviews, and Alana Haim has got like nominated for all kinds of things for it. She's got, you know, for like I think a Golden Globe or a Grammy or whatever it is. It's got for the Academy Awards, nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, you know, all kinds of nominations. It won a few awards.
Okay.
But I can't give it a hard sell.
I was gonna say you're still not telling me whether it was good or not.
I can't say I would recommend watching this movie.
Okay.
Essentially, I would say watch it if you want, but how it scored 91% on Rotten Tomatoes and 8.4 out of 10 on the Metacritic there, whatever it is, I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get it. I didn't hate the movie, but I didn't care. Like it didn't suck me in. It didn't make me go, oh my God, this is so amazing. It was like, mm-hmm. I was invested at one point. I'm going to keep watching it. It is entirely too long and over 2 hours long.
Okay.
It's got a great soundtrack. It takes place in 1973. So, you know, it's got a great soundtrack. That's for sure. But yeah, can't say I would recommend this. So.
Okay.
And then the other red box I red boxed was Memory, the Liam Neeson's flick.
Oh, okay.
You remember the trailer on this one? The trailer is ambiguous as to he's a good guy or a bad guy. Is he a hitman? Is he a special agent? But he's having memory issues.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the memory issues, yes, they're not actually that bad. Like they are, but they're not. It's okay. Not as big of a role in the movie as it is. In fact, Liam Neeson he's kind of the star.
Who? But
at the same time, Liam Neeson's.
Okay, there we go.
Sorry. He's kind of the star, while at the same time, he's not really the star of the movie.
Okay.
But it's a good movie. And I think, was it Guy Pearce is also in it? But anyways, yeah, it's a good movie, and you should definitely check it out.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I'm not going to give away much more than that because, you know, I don't want to ruin it. But yeah, I would definitely check it out.
Cool.
I found out last night from Kanan that he has not seen Taken. So that will be corrected.
Ah, good, good.
Yeah.
I will not consider that your failure as a parent, but I mean, I'm glad that you're taking steps to correct this.
But no, I like I said, Guy Pearce is in it. It is a good movie. There's a good story involved in it. I liked it a lot. You should definitely check it out.
Cool. So. Was that all your movies?
That's it. It's all the movies.
So before we move on to trailers and news, we need to go back for a second.
Okay.
So there was one thing that happened in Ms. Marvel that we really skipped by, and really, like, it's probably the biggest thing that happened, and we skipped by it, and that should not have happened.
Okay,
Ms. Marvel was the first time that they were able to use the word mutation.
Yes,
they said afterwards, they're like, yes, we are confirming she is officially the first mutant of the MCU. And I loved when he said, your blood, your genetic makeup has some kind of mutation. And we got a half a second sting of the X-Men theme from the 90s cartoon. And holy shit, I was just like, yeah, we'd just gotten in Biggin. We had gotten her new outfit. Like, she was looking tight. She was fighting the bad guys. Everything was going good. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, you're a mutant. And that's it. They're now in the MCU canon. I lost my shit.
Yep, no, you're right. I kind of popped big for that as well.
Yeah, I can't believe that we forgot to talk about that, but holy shit. Can you imagine we'd, next week we'd be like, we need to clarify one thing. Yeah, that was huge. Because that, yeah. And it's interesting because in the comics, again, she was an Inhuman, as was Cameron. But in this one, she's actually a mutant. Don't know if he is or not. I think he's still going to be just born of the Jinn, the clandestine. But yeah, she is an official mutant. And that means that we can now have them. Which is going to make it even easier for Deadpool to be in there.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. I had to get us back to that so that we could make sure. Because I would imagine anybody listening was probably like, how could they have forgotten?
Because we made a mistake.
Yeah, it happens. Okay, so trailers and news. I think I got back to the right point because we recorded last week, July 10th. It is now Monday, July 18th. So I sent you the trailer for Day Shift. Jamie Foxx, Dave Franco, and Snoop Dogg.
I wasn't expecting what that movie was going to be about, but
I was not either.
There we are.
I will definitely check it out. It's going to be a Netflix movie. It's guys who hunt vampires and sell the bounties / body parts.
Yeah, they make that, and that's how they make their money is off that, yep. Like the teeth and whatnot. Yeah.
Looks pretty fucking cool, or at least fun.
Yeah.
I sent your trailer for Spin Me Round with Alison Brie and Aubrey Plaza.
Rough.
Yeah. It's an IFC film. It's one of those I don't quite know what's going on there. Like, the first 4/5 of it seem like she just gets this opportunity. She goes on a business trip, meets a guy. He likes her. But then it kind of seems almost cultish at the end.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I did not watch the Stranger Things honest trailer.
It's an honest trailer, so it's just fun.
Yeah. The Monsters trailer looked fucking terrible.
Thank you. I understand some people were like, oh, he's really trying to capture the campy spirit of the original series. Maybe don't.
Yeah, no, it looked really dumb.
It looked horrible. Even feel
like, I don't need a Herman Munster origin story. What the fuck?
No. No, and the fact that Grandpa hates him because, you know, he's not good enough for my wife. Also, Rob Zombie, stop putting your wife in stuff. You know, same thing with Kevin Smith. Stop it.
Oh, speaking of Kevin Smith, excellent segue. As he released his horror movie, Kilroy Was Here, as a fucking NFT.
Fucking NFT.
So in order to watch the movie, you have to buy an NFT, if you don't pirate it off the internet, by the way.
Uh-huh.
You have to buy the NFT of one of the images of Kilroy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then you can download the movie, or you're able to watch it, right?
Well, you could do anything you want with it at that point because it's yours. Yes. So you could rewrite it or refilm it or use the footage and other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, the NFT is, like, $180.
Yeah. Yeah, he could just go right to hell.
Yeah, like, really, fuck you. Like, that's fucking just fucking dumb. Like, so, there's a lot of Kevin Smith news. Like, you know, the Clerks trailer came out. I'll watch that. That's fine. Talking about Mallrats 2 might be going straight to Peacock. He just released a page of a script he just finished up for an upcoming movie set in the 80s that's not in the Askewverse. You know, Moose Jaws is still out there to be released somehow. Like, there's
filmed it yet.
Yeah, that's still supposed to be happening. So there's a lot of there's a lot of Kevin Smith stuff going on out there.
So adding on to that, Julie and I have this app. We each have a copy of it on our phone. It's a couples app. And what it does is every day you can play 10 cards. And the cards are in different categories, you know, finance or romance or sex or stuff like that. And they're just they're user submitted questions that you ask each other. Sometimes they're like first date type things. So we're like, yeah, skip that. But sometimes they're, you know, like, how strict were your parents growing up? And how do you think that affected you? You know, it's just they're different topics of conversation that can be fun, you know, instead of just sitting there being like, how was your day? Good. How was your day? So we've been doing those a lot lately. And the other day, one of them came up, I think we're hiking a trail, and she's asking the question. She's like, who is somebody that you used to look up to that now you can't stand? And I was like, Kevin Smith.
Yep.
Didn't even hesitate. I was like, Kevin Smith. You know, I used to, back in the day when he was doing Clerks, I was like, wow, this guy worked at a convenience store, worked at a video store like I did. And, you know, he pulled himself up and made a movie, financed it all on his credit cards. And now he's in Hollywood and he's doing stuff. Look at that. He got Stan Lee to be in a movie. Like, this guy's amazing. And nowadays I'm like, Kevin, no, no, please stop.
And his movie spoke to me, if you will.
Yeah, same. Even the ones people didn't like, Mallrats spoke to me.
Yep. Like, maybe Chasing Amy didn't speak to me, but I enjoyed the film.
It spoke to me in certain ways. I mean, not in that particular way, but, you know, right. Chasing the unavailable person, unrequited love, that kind of stuff.
Yes. Right, right, yes. I get that as well. Yep. Oh, real quick, did you watch any of the Resident Evil on Netflix yet?
Not yet. I've been hearing some pretty not great stuff about it.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to hold off then. But yeah, I love Dogma. Fucking love Dogma.
Oh, my God. That was peak Kevin Smith.
And even Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was excellent as far as how it brought everything together and kind of tied it up in a bow.
Yep.
And then we got Clerks 2, which I really enjoyed.
Me too.
I thought was great. I even like Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh, my God. I love Zach and Miri. I'll watch that a million times.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I never saw Cop Out. Didn't care for it. Never. Me don't either. Want to. Jersey Girl I thought was actually good, but I got shit all over because of the Bennifer thing. So that's unfortunate.
I didn't much like it, but I understood where he was going with it.
Yeah. And then after that, it's like, you know, he did all his Evenings with Kevin Smith, you know, all his stand-up things he did. And we enjoyed all of those thoroughly until it got to the fourth one, where he literally answered one question. It took him 2 hours to answer, and it was done.
Yeah.
And we were both like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know?
That like, was insane. And granted, it's a funny story when you think about it, the whole Wild Wild West thing, but it didn't need to take that long.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep going because I know this is like, sidetracking, going down the deep end, whatever you want to call it. But I'm just going there. Red State. That was my first like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know? And let's go back in time a little bit, real quick, actually. Because I kind of skipped over it a little bit. But like, you know, he did the Clerks, the cartoon series.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah, yep. I enjoyed that. Then he did all his Degrassi, Jay and Silent Bob do Degrassi stuff, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that as well. Like I said, all the documentaries he did or the discussions he did, I thought those were really good.
Yeah.
Red State was like, Jay and Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie. All right. Then we got Tusk and it was like, what the fuck is this?
Uh-huh.
After not getting a movie, essentially, for 3 years.
Yep.
So, like, he did Zach and Mary. Then he did Cop Out, which he didn't write. But then we got Red State.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got a 3-year gap between Zach and Mary and Red State. And then we got another gap between Red State and Tusk. And Tusk was just disturbing, and I didn't understand it. Maybe that falls on me, or maybe I'm the bad guy for not understanding it. I doubt it.
No, I don't think so.
You know, then we got Yoga Hosers, which I was like, what? What are all these miniature little Hitler gimmicks? And then we got Jay and Silent Bob reboot movie, right? So this is 3 years after Yoga Hosers. This comes out. This is 8 years after Zach and Mary, 13 years after Clerks 2. So it's 13 years since he was using his source material, if you will. And you could tell, like, it was just wasn't the same. I bought it. The best scene in the whole movie is Ben Affleck and
his daughter.
Well, yeah, Ben Affleck and his daughter. Like, that's the best part in the whole movie. And we get, like, the Chasing Amy reference and how they have a kid together and how they make it work. Just, you know, like, the whole thing, like, that was phenomenal. I bought the movie for that scene because I liked the continuity of the throwback and everything. I just wanted to have it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting Clerks 3, and I'll watch that. But, like, ever since he did Zach and Mary and he started smoking shit tons of pot, it just... I couldn't listen to his podcast anymore because he was high the whole time, or he was toking up. And then after he got done smoking pot on his podcast, then he would just friggin' be giggly and stoned. And I didn't want to hear it. It wasn't entertaining to me.
Right.
He was more entertaining when it came to drugs, when he actually wasn't using drugs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So there's my TED talk on Kevin Smith, if you will. Let's see. All right, where were we at?
Paramount Plus they're rebooting Criminal Minds, and they're bringing back like six of the original cast members.
Yeah, the majority of the cast. Yep.
Yep. I really hope to see Mandy Patinkin in there. They're not bringing Mandy Patinkin, but he's perfectly fine on TikTok.
The Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power. What'd you think of that?
I think I will definitely watch it. It looks decent. It's a prequel, of course, and we're following young Galadriel. I'm assuming with it being called the Rings of Power, this will talk about like how the Rings of Power were all forged. We all get that intro, you know, in the movies, how, you know, this many were given to the dwarves and the elves and the man and blah, blah, blah. So it looks decent.
Let's see here. I sent you Dead Girl in Apartment 3. The big thing about this is Adrian King, who starred in the original Friday the 13th movie, is returning to horror.
And that's why I figured you sent it.
Yeah. It looked okay.
Yeah. It looks like a horror movie.
I'm interested in this HBO Max.
The only thing is, that's the only thing, the only news that I've seen of it, and it's from a Facebook group or a Facebook page called Horror That Rocks.
Yep.
And it says, according to sources.
I've seen it on another page.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're HBO Max developing a prequel series to the It film franchise called Welcome to Derry.
And I'll watch it. I'll definitely try it out or give it a go. But I wasn't impressed with the second season of Castle Rock at all.
Right. Well, this is by the same people that did It Part 1 and Part 2, the newer ones. So that already gives it a leg up, in my opinion. And it says, based on the film franchise, when children begin to disappear in the town of Derry, Maine, a group of kids is faced with their biggest fears when they square up against a murdering clown named Pennywise. I mean, that's it. Mm-hmm. But then it says the prequel leads up to the events of 2017's It Part 1.
Yep. What else?
75 Days at Memorial.
Yeah, so this is based on a true story that happened during one of the hurricanes down there. I don't think it was Katrina or whatever.
No, because they said we survived Katrina.
Yeah. So is this a true – it is a true story, I believe, isn't it?
I didn't see that anywhere in there, but it could be based on it.
Oh, I thought it was. A miniseries. It's not a movie. It's a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's based on the book 5 Days at Memorial, Life and Death of a Storm-Ravaged Hospital. Oh, no, it's a nonfiction story by a journalist about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and the Memorial Medical Center in New Orleans, and like how allegedly maybe like 30 something patients were assisted in death as opposed to dying slowly without power and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They basically couldn't get them up to the roof and they were going to die. They were going to suffer. So they put them down and, you know, then there's the whole, was that necessary?
Yeah. That Scrubs news you sent me, that was fucking unbelievable. We don't really need to talk about it. I just never responded to you.
Yep.
We
talked about the Moffat thing. What'd you think of the patient?
Didn't really jump out at me.
I thought it was interesting once we got to the twist. You know, once we saw the little twist at the end there that, you know, they're having this session as he's chained up in the basement. And this guy's like, no, I am a killer. And he does. He goes out and kills people and then comes and talks to his therapist that he's kidnapped.
I guess I should have watched the whole trailer.
Okay.
Because I got like, I don't know, halfway, three quarters. I was like, no, whatever. And I shut it off. But okay, yeah.
That, yeah, you get the reveal that, you know, he's chained up down there.
Yeah, okay. That will get me to watch that. That'll draw me out to watch at least the first episode.
Yeah. The most hated man on the internet. I was telling you about this one earlier. Basically, it's the true story of the first guy to start making money off revenge porn and how everybody started really hating him for it. Understandably.
Not really a surprise.
Yeah. It's a Netflix documentary type. So I will check that out.
What do you think of Farzar?
I've now watched the first episode and a half, and it's basically Paradise PD. I mean, some of the characters are even like there's two idiots that are part of this colony that's called the Intellectuals or something like that. And they're complete idiots, but they're the two idiots from Paradise PD. And like everybody in the village is just those two guys over and over again. The voices are the same. A lot of the characters have very similar styles to them. It's so if you like Paradise PD and Brickleberry and those types, then yeah, you'll like this one. It's another version of that. If you don't like them, I would say pass.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll pass then.
There you go.
And that's it for me.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I sent that blew your mind was that TikTok video where basically the guy was asking, why do Star Wars movies start once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away? And it's been confirmed from George Lucas that that's because it's R2-D2 telling the stories to all of us. He's the narrator.
And that kind of blew my mind out of the water a little bit on that.
Yeah, I loved it. But yeah, I think that's all I've got as well.
All right. So I guess the only other thing I'd like to share is 6 years ago today, the 18th of July, my wife and I bought this house. We signed on the house.
Nice.
But more importantly than that, 3 years ago today, you and I and my son and several others attended Weird Al Yankovic Strings Attached Tour in New Hampshire.
Wow. 3 years.
Yep. Already. That was a good day.
That was a very good tour.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a good day. We went to fun spot first.
Oh, that was the one where I got so sick on the way down.
Yep. But then we went to Weird Al and we had an unbelievably good time.
Yeah, we got to have that. We had good seats, like over on the edge.
Outstanding seats, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Memories.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am kind of, sort of, also on Twitter, the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's our show.
We'll talk to you next week.